Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
We're thrilled to start our brand new series called The God I Never Knew. And I just got to tell you, there's some excitement building in my heart for this message specifically, but this series as well. And so I hope you're ready, no matter what background that you're from, whether you're pro-Holy Spirit or just trying to figure out this thing like the rest of us, we're glad that you're here with us. And I think God's really going to do a great, great work. And I just want to say one thing, and we'll jump into the message right after that. But we had a guest worship leader, as you maybe saw. If you're brand new, the first time here, you're like, that's all I know. But for those of us that have been around a little bit, we had Randy with an I helping lead us in worship. Can we put our hands together for her? So awesome. Now, our normal worship leader, Tony with an I, will be back next week. She's actually in Seattle, Washington right now. But we're excited that you're here today. Again, it's going to be a great day. So I want to jump right in to the message. In fact, I want to jump into a beginning couple of verses that are going to jumpstart this message in this series. So if you got a Bible with you or a Bible app, we're going to go into a lot of scripture. This is not our main text. This is going to set up the message today. But I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 as we begin this series. And if you don't have a Bible with you or you don't have the Bible app downloaded, it will be on the screen for those that are here in the room. Acts chapter 19, we're going to read two verses that are going to set the scene for where we're going and where we're at in this series, The God I Never Knew. Acts chapter 19, and we're going to begin with verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul the apostle took the road through the interior, and he arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, take note of that. And he asked them a very simple question, the question that we're asking each other today. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And here's their answer. No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. In fact, anytime that I do a Holy Spirit series, I like to begin with these verses because some of you are in that place today. I want you to focus on that last sentence, their response. Paul asked them a very simple question. Like, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they reply back, holy who? Like who are you talking about? We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. So obviously, back then in Acts chapter 19 and today in 2019, there is still and there was some major confusion, some big questions with the disciples. And the truth is, there's many people in a non-denominational church setting like this that you, if you were honest with God, and you might as well be, friend, because he can read your mind, that if you were honest with the Lord, you would be saying the same thing. You know what? I really don't know so much about the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I love Jesus. In fact, I love Jesus a lot. I'm going to heaven one day, but I'm not so sure about the Holy Spirit. And if that's you, and I'm telling you, I've met with many of you, that is several people in our church. If that's you, I got to tell you, friend, this is a good, safe place to ask that question. Like, this is a good, safe place. Can I get an amen in God's house to learn about who God is? And so whether you're coming in and you've got that same kind of mindset as Acts chapter 19, or whether you're coming in and you've forgotten more about the Holy Spirit than I'll ever learn in my lifetime, we're going to have some fun today as we lean in to who the Holy Spirit is. You see, a part of the problem with a subject like the Holy Spirit is, unfortunately, he's gotten a bad rap. Like, would you agree with me on that? There is a lot of controversy when it comes to this topic. Why? Let me tell you why. Because many people, and maybe you're in that place, they've based their knowledge of the Holy Spirit on their experience as a kid. They base their knowledge on the Holy Spirit based off of the story their best friend told them about that person who was weird, doing a weird thing, and blaming it on the Holy Spirit. In fact, can I tell you one of my favorite phrases I get to tell you all throughout my time here? The Holy Spirit isn't weird. People are weird. Like if you don't believe me, go to Walmart. Any day, any time, any hour, and you will find weird people. And if you don't think anybody's weird in Walmart, you're the weird person in Walmart, okay? And so the Holy Spirit's gotten a bad rap. And so again, as a pastor of a non-denominational church with so many different people, so many different backgrounds, so many different denominational leanings, I realize that we've got people listening right now who you have these walls built up, not because of what God says about himself, but what you experienced a long time ago, or you heard some crazy story last month. Again, you love Jesus and you even like this church, but you're not so sure about this Holy Ghost. In fact, you're thinking to yourself, I don't like ghosts. Like, get ghosts away from me. I don't want them by me. I don't want them by my family. And there is this fear that raises up on the inside. That's one group of people today. Here's another group listening that you don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. You don't have any kind of a background in it. In fact, maybe the denomination you were raised in spoke out against the Holy Spirit. Here's another group. There's people like me who you grew up with great experiences when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Like, you're charismatic, you're Pentecostal, you're a little crazy, okay? That's some people listening right now. And you remember the days of old, and you would call them the good old days with people getting slain in the Spirit. You remember the days of old with modesty blankets. Anybody remember those? They were usually crimson like the blood, okay? Like, you remember these moments where you'd have prophets come in and prophetesses come in, and you'd have women with way too much makeup on and purple hair, and let's be honest, you had some women with not enough makeup on. That's what you think of when you go back to your upbringing. You're thinking to yourself, man, about time, Pastor. I was waiting for you to do another series on the Holy Spirit. I got my demon slaying gloves on today, and I'm ready to cast out some demons in Jesus' name. And so we got all these different groups of people. Some of you are on the edge of your seat, and some of you are grabbing your purse, getting ready to sneak out in a moment when we pray. And so we've all got to come to common ground. So here's what I'm asking. Two things. Please hear me. Two things I'm asking of every single person, no matter where you currently stand, no matter your denominational leaning. Okay, hear me, please. Two things. Number one, I'm asking for a blank page, that you would lay all your misconceptions, maybe. You would lay all your presuppositions at the door. Everything that you thought you know, or you know that you know, that you would give me a blank page. And number two, I'm asking that you would be on this journey with me for 3 weeks. And guess what? You're already here one out of the 3 weeks. That you'd be here 3 weeks in a row. And if you cannot make it, that you'd watch online or catch the message on YouTube the next morning. We always put it on Monday morning. But that you would be on this journey with me as we come before God with a blank page. Because in this series, and every series, by the way, we will only get our viewpoints from God's word. Like, only. In fact, can I teach you something that will set you free today? Your experience can never supersede scripture. Like, ever. And so anytime that somebody does something that does not line up with God's word, they are wrong, not God's word. And so in this series, in every series, we will learn about the Holy Spirit and how he wants to be active in our lives only from the word of God. Your experience can back up the word of God, but it cannot supersede it. Can I get an amen in God's house? And so with all of that said, I'm calling this very simple, very introductory message, and it's a question. Who is he? So what we're asking today, so the disciples were asking back in Acts chapter 19, who is he? Not what my best friend says about him, not what I experienced as a child, for good or bad, but who does God say that he is? Let's pray together. Lord, I love you. We love you so much, and I'm fired up to talk about who you are. Not what a man, not what a woman has to say, but what you have to say about yourself. And so I pray even now, Lord, that you'd help all of us to approach the preaching of your word with a blank page. Holy Spirit, wipe the slate clean in our life right now, that we would allow you and what you have to say to begin to sketch out our view on the Holy Spirit. And God, we also pray in all seriousness for our Houston Astros, Lord. Last night was rough. I used to go to bed a lot earlier than that on a Saturday night, and I stayed up to watch a 7-0 game. So we come against those Yankees in Jesus' name, and we pray for God's team. Amen. Amen. I lost some of you with my intro, but you're back now praying for the Astros. Hopefully tonight will be a lot better. We got JV in the house. Justin Verlander. Okay. Let's go to our main text. I want to hear what Jesus has to say about the Holy Spirit. Very familiar text for some, but John chapter 14. John is the fourth gospel account, and I hope you'll turn there with me. John chapter 14, and we're going to read four verses together, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And in some of y'all's Bibles, it's going to be in red because Jesus is letting us know before he ascends to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. He's letting us know about who this Holy Spirit is. John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. Here's what Jesus has to say. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. Somebody say another. Another advocate to help you, and he will be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Catch this. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He's saying you're different. You know him. How do you know him? For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is a foundational text when it comes to who the Holy Spirit is. And we've got to start really simple, again, because we're praying that God would wipe the slate clean and build a good, theologically sound foundation for us as we move through this series. So here's the first point. Real simple, but you got to get this first. Number one, he is God. I hope you'll write this down. This is very, very important. Pastor, I've known this for 60 years. Would you write it down, friend? He is God. What did Jesus say in verse 16? I will send you another advocate. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit is another. He's saying he's like me. God will send you another one like me. And so let's get real, real foundational, not just a spirit-filled, non-denominational church like us. Let's go across the board denomination-wise, okay? You got to get some real foundation here when it comes to this topic. All Christians, no matter what church you go to, we serve the triune God, okay? You got to get this. We're going a little bit to Bible school at the beginning, okay? The triune God. That's a fancy way, a theological way to say the Trinity, okay? And you've got to understand this. Well, what's the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We serve the triune God. Notice this. This is critical. Each person here is fully God. But please understand something. We are not, hear me, not talking about three gods. The Lord our God is one. He is the triune God. Where'd you get that from? Old Testament and New Testament, Genesis through Revelation? Like the Lord our God is one. What's the best way to describe the Trinity? Trinity is three in one. Can I go beyond that? No, because it's a mystery to me, just like it's a mystery to you. We can talk about the three-leaf clover, and we could talk about all these different roles that a man plays in his child's life and all these kinds, but I'm telling you, they all fall short of what the Trinity, who he really is, the triune God that we serve. So the Holy Spirit is God, but some of us, I'm going to step on your toes for a second, get ready. Some of us treat the Holy Spirit like he's on JV, and then God the Father and God the Son Jesus are on varsity, okay? Like, yeah, he's a part of the Trinity, but it's really like he's in the back seat while everybody else is in the front seat. We treat him like he's a little g God. And I'm telling you, friend, that he is God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you need to know this as well. He is also a person. He is a God. He is God, and he is a person. And so this has ramifications. Like big time, you cannot miss this. This means that God the Holy Spirit is not some mystical force, okay? Like, I'm all for Star Wars, y'all. I'm excited for the new movie to come out. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is not some force based up of midichlorians, okay? This energy, good and bad in the universe. No, you cannot detect the Holy Spirit with a plasma reader like in Ghostbusters. He is not some mist or vapor. He is a person. Can I get an amen? In God's house. Notice this. That what we just read, Jesus does not say it when referring to the Holy Spirit. He does not say it at least five times in just 3 verses. By my count, he uses the words him or he to describe the Holy Spirit. Friend, he is God and he is a person. And so because he is God and because he is a person, he has characteristics. He has things in his character, who he is and what he's about. And so I'm going to give you a few of them, and there's going to be scripture references, and I will not read them all. In fact, I won't even address them all. So this is going to be one of those messages you want to go back and rewatch and re-listen, because I encourage you to do extra study on this. So let me give you a few things about the Holy Spirit. Here's the first little sub-point here. He has the attributes of God. He has the attributes of God. Well, how could he have the attributes of God? Because he is God. So he is omnipresent. Omni meaning all, and present meaning present, okay? So he is all present. He is everywhere at once. He's sitting beside you in this room. He's also on Neptune, even though Pluto is not a planet anymore. Apparently, he's on Pluto, y'all, that rock floating in space. Like, he is everywhere. He's in your car, he's at your house, he is everywhere all at once. He's omnipotent, all, or omni meaning all, potent meaning power. He has all power. Like, there is nothing too hard for our God. Would you agree with me today? Nothing is impossible with him. He has all power. Omniscient. Omni meaning all. Niscient meaning knowing. He is all knowing. Like I said a moment ago, he can read your thoughts. And friends, that's scary. That's real scary. But he knows everything. Do you know that God never at one point in his life had something occur to him? Like, he knows everything. God has never had to figure anything out. He knows it all. I'm talking about God, the Holy Spirit. This is a big one that we skim over a lot of times. He is eternal. He's eternal. And you can see the references there if you can see the screen behind me. He is eternal. He was not created by God. He is God. He's always been and always will be. If I'm preaching good theology, you can amen me. You have my permission today, okay? Like, he's eternal. He has always been. He was not created. He was the creator. He does the works of God. Here's the second thing. God, the Holy Spirit, the works of God. What are you talking about? I'm talking about creation. He's involved in creation. I'm talking about regeneration, inspiration, helping us understand who God is and understand his word. He's a part of resurrection, what happened in Jesus' life, but what will happen in our lives. And he brings the conviction. You can see this again all throughout the word of God. Here's the last one. He is one with God. There is unity in the Trinity, three in one. You can see it in Matthew, in 2 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You've got to get this down in your soul today, that God, the Holy Spirit, he is God. He's not on some back burner JV team, little like kid thing. No, he is God and he is a person. Here's the second point. Number two, this is a real simple message, but it's going to help somebody. Number two, help is on the way. It's what Jesus tells us here in this passage. He's letting the disciples know back then, and thousands of years later, he's letting you know too. Help is on the way. Verse 16 again, another advocate to help you. Another advocate to help you. Let's get into the Greek, okay? Let's go deep today. Now, the NIV uses the word advocate here, and we're reading out of the NIV. But in the Greek, in the original language, it's actually the word parakletos. Now, you hear some people say paraclete and tomato, tomato, okay? But parakletos, and here's what this word means. It's got so much power in it. I hope you'll write this down. It means a lot of things, but here's some. It means comforter, counselor, aid, and assistant. Jesus is letting you know, friend, that there is a comforter coming to you. There's a counselor coming to you. There's an aid coming to you. And there's an assistant coming to you. And can I remind you of something really good? He is free. Like free. Will not cost you anything. You don't have to put him on retainer, y'all. He is always here. Help is on the way. And so I think we can all agree that those are amazing things. So the question has to be, and I'm hoping you're leaning into this message, just by faith, I'm believing that you are. But the question has to be, with all of those good things, why don't we want that? Well, I grew up Methodist. I grew up Baptist. I've seen it abused and misused. Remember, that was not the Holy Spirit. That was that weird person. Okay? Maybe their heart was not in a bad place, but their head was way behind their hearts. Okay? So why don't we want that? I can tell you something. You do want that if you see him for who he truly is. And I'll tell you why you may feel like, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. Here's why. It's not because you don't need him. It's not because of how the word describes him. It's because of your misconceptions about him or your fear that rises up on the inside of you because you cannot control him. Yeah, you want a counselor? Who does it? Yeah, you want aid and an assistant and someone to comfort you when you're hurting? We want that. We want a God. We want the help. But that fear, so often our misconceptions about him, they can block out the help that Jesus, that God the Father, they have sent our way. And if that's your problem, I want you to remember something, that you will never fully understand God the Father and God the Son either. Last time I read the Bible, it says God's ways are not our ways, okay? We got some people in the room with high IQs. God's IQ is higher. He knows everything. On this side of heaven, you will never fully understand him. I've been walking with Jesus for decades, and I'm telling you, friend, I still have so much more to learn. So much more, and so do you. And so I just want to share my heart with you. Do I have permission today? Can I share my heart with you? You know, you don't have to give it to me. I'm going to share my heart anyways, but I'd like your permission so you'd receive it better. I just want to share my heart. Some of you are so struggling. Like, please look in my eyes. Some of you are so struggling to live this Christian life because you are pushing away the help that God wants to send you. You're trying to do this on your own, and Jesus is telling you there is a better way. Help is on the way. Think about it like this. Think about it like this. It's almost like trying to live your life without the help of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like driving a car with the e-brake left on. That's what you're doing, and that's how it feels right now. It's like you're stuck in the mud. One week, I'm loving God. I'm on fire for God. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying, and the next week, I forget about him. You're back and forth. You're just oscillating back and forth, and I'm telling you, it's because you're trying to do it on your own. It's like trying to sail a boat without any wind. That's how some of you feel right now. Think about it like this. Think with me for a moment. Maybe you can relate to this. But there's been many points in my life as a child and also now as an adult with children of my own, there's been many points in my life where I realized that I've been doing something the hard way for years and there was a better, easier way to begin with. Maybe you can relate to that. I thought of a couple examples. When I was a kid, when I was in elementary school, 6 years old, I grew up playing. Now, some of you go way before this, and that's cool, but I just got to tell you my story. I grew up playing regular Nintendo, okay? Like two buttons, okay? A and B. Now, some of you go back to Atari, but we're not going there, okay? Regular Nintendo, A and B. And I grew up playing games like Pac-Man. Anybody play Pac-Man back in the day? Yeah, come on. Like not having to go to an arcade, like in your house. It was an amazing thing. I grew up playing Mario and Super Mario and all these games. But remember, I was six. So because I was six, even though it only had two buttons, y'all, I was not very good. Until I realized one day, and I think I got it for a Christmas present, but there was this invention made, and some of you will remember this, but not many, but there was an invention made called a Game Genie. Anybody remember a Game Genie? Only a couple of people, man. All right, y'all rolling with me today, okay? So a Game Genie is real simple. You literally, we had cartridges back then, all right? Like you can download it online. Like you had a cartridge and you'd hook up the Game Genie to the cartridge and then you would plug it in to your regular NES Nintendo. And when you did that, literally, this is amazing. When you did that, it gave you infinite lives. And for a six-year-old, that was amazing. I don't know if you know this, but like Pac-Man never ends. I kept doing another level and another level because I couldn't die. It just kept going and going. If you beat Pac-Man, let me know. I want to know how many levels are in the original Pac-Man. But like you could keep going. In Mario, you could jump higher and you could punch harder. You could get that little tail and fly. You could have fireballs whenever you wanted. It made it so much easier. It was so much better. I thought of another one more recently. Maybe you can relate to this one, if not the first. But anybody that's 30 years old and over, you remember that GPS on your phone is a new thing. If you are 30 and younger, you have no idea. You got handed a phone when you were 2 months old and said, here you go. But like for the rest of us, we remember a day where you rolled up a map and put it underneath your seat in your car. Anybody remember that, okay? That you had to literally map out where you would go. There was no robotic voice that you could have even with a British accent, y'all. Like that was not invented back then. And I'm not old, but I remember this time period. I remember even a little bit further than that, but still a while ago that you could print out your step-by-step directions on a website called MapQuest. Remember that? Here's the problem for somebody like me who is geographically challenged, okay? I've been here 22 months and I still have to use GPS sometimes to go right down the road, okay? Like pray for me, like Greg said a moment ago, pray for me. And so for people like me, MapQuest and using a literal map it caused issues. And so when I would get lost or I'd miss one of my turns, there was no way to get back on track. You cannot swipe on a page printed out from MapQuest, okay? It cannot recalculate for you. Siri is not there to guide you back on track. And how many of you know, let me talk to the fellas for a second. When a guy gets lost, we will not ask for directions. Amen. We will not. In fact, I thought some women would say amen in the house. Like, yeah, yeah. Now, for whatever reason, I don't have a problem asking a robot for directions. And she's got a female voice, but she's a robot, so no big deal. But I will not stop and ask for directions. But when GPS has come out on our phones, especially if you got an app like Waze, it lets you know where to go. It can recalculate if you miss your exit. How many of y'all know in Houston with the crazy traffic and not just that with the construction? Y'all got to pray for me some more. What's happening at Highway 6 and 290, y'all? And just God is testing me. I don't know what's going on. Like pray for your pastor. But I'm just telling you, we've got these apps. They can help you get where you need to go. Help is on the way, and the Holy Spirit is so much better than Siri, so much better than some game genie back in the day. The Holy Spirit is here to help guide you and get you where you need to go. What am I getting at? Why not use the help that God is sending your way? Why not tap into all of who the Holy Spirit is to live the life finally that God has designed you to live? Help is on the way. Maybe some of you have heard about Charles Finney before, a great evangelist from the 19th century. And he was a Presbyterian who one day had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. What I'm believing for through this series today is just introduction. Again, I want you back these next 2 weeks. But he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that changed everything. It's what I'm praying for you. It's what I want for you. And here's how he described it. It's a direct quote. The Holy Ghost descended on me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves, I love this, of liquid love. For I could not express it in any other way. It seemed like, take note of this, the very breath of God. For those listening today, you've encountered the Holy Spirit in a pure way, not man-made, man-fabricated, but you experience the workings of the Holy Spirit. This lines up with what God's done in our midst and in our life. I'm telling you, some of you need this so desperately. In fact, can we just be real honest? We all need the help of the Holy Spirit. We cannot live the victorious life God has called us to live without the help of the Holy Spirit. He's an advocate. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. He's an aide. He's an assistant. But you got to lay aside your doubts. You got to lay aside your fears, and you've got to begin to trust in what God says about himself. So I want to give you a few more things. Again, just get real practical and just give you a lot of Bible here. But I want to walk through, I believe I got four ways that the Holy Spirit assists you. Okay, things that he wants to do in your life. And so here's the first sub point. He will comfort. It's what we've been talking about. Another way to say he'll help me. This is John chapter 14, what we just read. Here's another one. Second point. He will teach. He will remind me of God's truth. He will help me understand the Holy Word. This is later on in John chapter 14, specifically verse 26. Here's a third sub point underneath point number two. He will convict. He will draw me. So he's going to help me, he's going to remind me, and he's going to draw me. Where is he going to draw me to? He's going to draw me closer to himself. He's going to draw me closer to Jesus, to John chapter 16, verse 8. Here's the last one here, and there's a lot I could share with you, but I want to focus on these four. Here's the fourth sub point. He will empower. Come upon me. He will give you power to live the life God has called you to live. He will give you the power to be a witness, to share your faith. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And we will talk about this in this series. I am unashamed when it comes to my charismatic side and my Pentecostal crazy side, okay? Like, I'm unashamed of it. Why? Because it's in God's word, all the things we're going to talk about in this series. Here's the third point. We just have three today. Real simple message, but hopefully helpful. Number three, who is he? He is with and in. Would you write that down today? Not let pride get in the way of you taking notes in church. I've known this longer than you've been alive, Pastor. Would you write it down again? He is with and in. He is with and in. This is verse 17. Jesus says, he lives with you and will be in you. Words of Jesus. He lives with you and will be in you. So friend, you got to get this. When you surrender your life to Jesus, and many of us have, when you surrender your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. In fact, this is what we mean when we explain to little kids about salvation and we say God wants to come live in your heart. This is what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit is with you. He's all around you. He's omnipresent, all present everywhere at one time. But he also is with you, in you, as a believer unto Jesus. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone, catch this, friend, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Pretty clear. Instead of discouraging, this should be encouraging to you. That the God of the universe is not just around you, but he wants to live in you. That everywhere you go, can you apply this to your life today? Everywhere that you go, that really difficult conversation, that meeting with your boss, talking to your children, and there's an estranged relationship there, going on that job interview, the Holy Spirit, he is not just with you, he is in you as a believer in his holy name. You should walk with your head a little bit higher your chest out a little bit more with greater confidence, because someone who's greater, someone who's bigger, someone who's mightier, someone who's stronger lives with you and in you. I hope you catch the revelation of the simple message today from God's word. Like, it changes things when you realize that you're rolling with somebody better than you, greater than you, someone who knows all the answers. It should encourage you. It should strengthen you. It was over a year ago when our son Luke, we've got two children. We've got a six-year-old and almost two-year-old. And it was about a year ago when our son Luke was five. And I had the honor, kind of a rite of passage for him and all of us as children, but I had the honor to help him learn how to ride a bike without training wheels. Now, some of you have been through that many times, others you will in the future. But for me, this is my first time. And I remember when I was younger and my parents teaching me, but I really don't remember what they did. I just kind of remember the moment and the result. And all I could do was like ride in circles in our cul-de-sac growing up for a while. But it was a year ago, and I had this opportunity to train him and teach him. And again, it's the first time for me. And so I just thought that he was going to get it really easy. Like, some of you are laughing because you know, like, I did not know what I did not know, okay? Like I just thought he was going to get it. Like, a couple of amazing pointers from his dad. You know, I've been riding a bike for a while, guys, you know, and just let him know how to do this and do that. This is how you balance and this is how you steer. And then just kind of send him off. And how many of you know that did not work well? He would slowly crash. It's like the slowest crash you ever seen in your life. It looked like it was in slow motion, but it wasn't. And so after he did this for a while, he realized, and he was right, that he was not going to learn how to ride a bike unless his dad actually helped him, unless I actually stepped beside him. And honestly, there was fear that rose up on the inside of him, because he just knew, and again, he was right, he just knew without my help, he was going to fall, that he was going to crash. And so I realized pretty quickly, friend, that I was not helping my son enough. So what did I do? I got his mom and had her come out. No, I'm just kidding. I said, hey, we're going to pray. And so right then and there, we prayed and we asked God to help him conquer his fear. And we just asked for strength to rise up and for God's help. Just right there, like on his bike or on our street. And we prayed together. But then here's what I did. And I know it's not rocket science. I should have done this from day one, but I'm still learning. I'm still growing. This is my first time on this other side teaching somebody how to ride a bike. But this time after that prayer, I got beside my son. I helped grab a hold of the handlebars and I began to run beside him as he learned how to ride his bike. And not only was I beside him, but sometimes I would get behind him and he could see me and that fear would start coming again. Dad, I don't want to fall. And he would hear my voice behind him. Son, I have not let go. I am here. I am guiding you. I've got a hold of the seat. I will not let go until you're ready. I will continue to guide you. I will continue to push you. And how many of you know, after I helped him in that way, he learned. After he realized that somebody bigger than him, somebody stronger than him, somebody that's been where he needs to go, somebody that he can trust to help him not to fall, after he realized that I was there to guide him and get him where he needed to go, he learned how to ride that bike. And friend, the Holy Spirit is right here with you. And as a believer, he even lives in you to help you get to where you need to go. And I know you can't always see him, but if you listen, you can hear him. And I know you don't always feel him, but can I remind you today of what God's word says? He is with you. He lives in you. The Holy Spirit is not an emotion. He's so much more than the goosebumps that you may get every once in a while when your favorite song comes on the radio. He is real. He is God. He is your helper. He's your comforter. He's your aid. He's your assistant. He is your counselor. And he is with you. And he is in you. Can we answer that question we've been asking? all day? Like, why would we not want that? You do want that. But do not let your fear, do not let your upbringing or your misconception stop you from experiencing all that God has for you. I want to end today with reading to you one more verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It's a beautiful picture of the Trinity, the triune God that we serve. Here's what it says out of the Message paraphrase. The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. What do we see here? Number one, God the Father loves me. Got to get this. Number two, God the Son saves me. And number three, God the Holy Spirit is with me. This is the God that we serve. God the Father loves you. God the Son wants to save you. God the Holy Spirit is with you. Let's pray. Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes all across the house. Those that are watching, listening online. Let's honor this moment before the Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray right now for each of us. I pray that we would let the truth of your word sink in deep. That you want to be our friend. You want to be our helper. That you are our advocate. Jesus, I go back to what you said at the end of John chapter 14, verse 18. You said that you will not leave us as orphans. You said, I will come to you. It's a promise that you made and a promise that you have kept. Right there with your eyes closed, friend, your head bowed, maybe you need to ask the Lord in your mind and heart. Maybe you need to ask him for forgiveness. Maybe you've made God the Holy Spirit, this little G God. Maybe you pushed him to the side. Maybe you've let acts of man or acts of woman build up these misconceptions about who he really is. So maybe right where you're seated with your eyes closed, maybe you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness right now. Forgive me, Lord, for my incorrect views of you. Forgive me for letting fear stop me from experiencing you and truly, truly inviting you in to help me, to assist me, to aid me, to comfort me, to counsel me. Forgive us for those misconceptions, for our poor theology, for our false beliefs. May today, with the slate wiped clean, may we begin again on that new journey, correctly handling what you say about who you are. And even though we'll never fully understand it all, we can continue to grow. We can continue to know more about who you really are. Heads bowed, eyes closed all across this room. We're almost done. Again, watching, listening online, close your eyes with me if you're able to. Today, like every Sunday, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to surrender your life to the one true God, to put your faith, your trust in him and him alone, to ask him to forgive you of your sins, things that you've done that have separated you from God. And I want to give you that opportunity today, and it's really a simple thing, but it's a beautiful, powerful thing. Now, this will not be your only step. It will be your first step. But it'd be the honor of my life to lead you in a prayer of salvation, a prayer of commitment to the Lord. And if you'll say this prayer with me in a moment and you'll mean it with all your heart, you can know that God hears you and God saves you. And again, this is your first step on your new journey with the Lord. I'm not going to make you stand. I'm not going to usher you off to some room, but right where you're seated with everybody's eyes closed but mine, you can repeat this after me. You put your faith and your trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. So with eyes closed all across the house, if you're far from God, but you want to surrender your life to him for the first time, or let's be honest, maybe the first time in a long time, if that's you today, would you raise your hand so I can see it? You're far from the Lord, but you want to surrender your life to him. Thank you so much. You can put it down. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Respond online. We don't rush past this moment. It's why we do what we do. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Keep those eyes closed. I want to lead those of you that raise your hand. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Again, it's not a magical prayer. It's a prayer of confession. Prayer of belief. Putting your trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross. So those that raised your hand a moment ago online and also in this room, repeat this after me. But be encouraged today that you won't be repeating it by yourself. There's going to be a whole bunch of Christians around you that are going to be lifting their voice in this room. Repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Jesus, I believe. Come on, let's say that again. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you to forgive me of every sin. Jesus, make me new. I put my trust, I put my faith in you and you alone. Jesus, I make you my Lord and my Savior. From this day forward, help me. Come on, say that again. Help me, Holy Spirit, to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Come on, somebody get excited in God's house. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.